Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra.
Thanks for listening to Hannah's Heart today. You want to tell them what Hannah's Heart is?
Yes, we are a show for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage. However God starts to build your family, whether that be through adoption or God, you know, healing you. And we have a lot of stories of miracle babies. Everybody's story is different, but you know, our show is based around Hannah in the Bible, who prayed and prayed and prayed and said, Lord, if you give me a child, I'm going to give that child back to you. And that's where Samuel came from. So our heart is to help you lay your future family in the hands of God.
Right. That's what we're called to do. And sometimes it's definitely easier said than done. And so that's why Hannah's Heart started. You can always find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Now that we're doing video, you can watch us. We were just talking about how we wear the same shirts a lot, and now you can notice on YouTube.
We do wash our clothes. We do. Yeah.
And like,
maybe
we have a few recordings today.
Now that we have little ones in the house.
Right, right.
Maybe actually more frequently now that they're in
probably,
the house.
Probably, probably. So, but you can find us on YouTube, and you can also email us at hannahsheart@afa.net. I actually was reading over some emails this morning for a girl who in a few days is about to have surgery, and she asked us to pray for her. And so we need to be praying for her as that's about to come up. And then just an encouraging email, just a lady just saying, like, y'all just been there for me. I just found your show about a month ago, and I can't stop listening because every episode I feel like seen a little bit more, heard a little bit more. She's like, it just brings me to tears just about because I have loved listening in. So we really appreciate getting those emails.
I have a friend that just contacted me, and she said, I listen every week. I was like, get out. So encouraging. But she said to pray for them because they're starting their adoption journey.
Wow.
So we love to pray for our listeners. So keep those prayer requests coming.
For sure. So today, y'all might see, we have someone in studio with us, and I've known her since, 2007, I think, is when I came to TCPS. She was my high school teacher, maybe every year in high school, maybe.
Most likely.
Most likely, some way or another. But she was always involved in my life, for sure, during high school. And so I know her as Miss Bunn, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to call her Elaine.
Only if you raise your hand first.
But we have Elaine Bunn in studio with us today, and I'm just honored that you're here.
Thank you.
I didn't know. I knew bits and pieces of your story and how it would relate to Hannah's Heart, but really I didn't know a lot of details. And so I'm honored for you to be here today, and I'm excited to learn more about you and that you get to introduce our listeners to your sweet family. So,
well, you know, that's part of, I think, the reality. Often we see people in their normal everyday life and we don't realize that they're going through this journey and how difficult it is. And especially at a young age, you don't always identify with even women who are only 5 or 10 years older than you and what they may be experiencing at the time.
But, for sure.
I'm Elaine Bunn, and I am married to Chuck Bunn. I know a few of you here at the studio may know him.
Yeah.
Chuck and I will celebrate in a few weeks. I won't say the date. Maybe he can remember that. I know he can. He's a good one. 30 years.
Wow.
Next month. Congrats. And we have one daughter, Kennedy, who is 26 years old now, and he and I met in Oxford, Mississippi, and I know that's a sweet place for many people.
It is.
I was in my first year of grad school, and he was finishing. He loves to remind me that I'm a little bit older than him.
And I forgot about that one.
And it's neat how God puts your journey together, because I'm originally from North Alabama. Mm-hmm. He is originally from Missouri.
Wow.
And so we met there, and ironically, we were really good friends for about 2 years. We even double dated with other people.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Developing that friendship, and then before we entered into a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
So we tease, because I'm a a North Alabama girl who rolls with the tide, and I'm married to an Ole Miss man. Our daughter graduated from Mississippi College, and I'm now teaching with the Bulldogs at Mississippi State. So it can be done, and it can be done in a peaceful manner, for sure.
That's too funny. I didn't put all that together, but yes. When I heard that you were teaching with the Bulldogs, I remember being like, you're at Mississippi State? How does Chuck feel about this?
He's being good about it. Well, he knows I have a passion for education and working with secondary ed majors, and that's something that I want to continue to do if possible.
Because you've been
encourage our field. Yeah, over 25 years.
Over 25 years. Yeah. Long time. Yeah. You've definitely been a part of so many people's lives. So many people. So.
Well, praise God for your marriage that's so strong. I think that's one nice thing. We have people of all different ages and stages of the topics that we talk about on this show. But it's nice sometimes when we have somebody who's a little further along that they can have that, like, hindsight. You know, they're not you're not in the thick of this journey. And I think there's a lot that we can gain from learning about how it affected your relationships and your relationship with the Lord.
It's still so strong.
It is, and that's the one thing I would say for anyone going through the journey is that even though it's been a number of years for us, it is still at moments just as real as it was then. And God is good, and that's how you know He has brought you through that journey in preparation for the next one, obviously. Yeah. But it doesn't really matter when or your age. It is still something that has an effect on your life, for sure, and the lives of others.
Yeah. Well, when did it start for you, this journey?
Well, I know Ann had sent me some questions, and one of those was, did we want to have children? Mm. And so, yes, we had many conversations about that, but it was mainly prior to marriage, because where most couples come together, they get to know each other, and they start talking about children. I had been just not unlike a lot of young women in struggles with hormones and cycles and things like that. And so at 21, while waiting to actually go into the OR for a laparoscopy to kind of figure out what's going on, what's causing a lot of pain, what are these issues, I remember going into extreme pain and realized later as they got into surgery that my right ovary had ruptured.
Oh, my word.
And so the physicians approached my mother while in surgery and said, both ovaries really are damaged. There were cysts and tumors.
Wow.
And,
at 21?
And they even said the word hysterectomy.
Oh, my
word. And thankfully, at that time period, my mother said, do everything you can do, and let's just go from there. And so following that surgery, of course, I was given the news, you most likely will never be able to become pregnant.
What?
So that was heavy for a 21-year-old, whether you had decided to have a child or you wanted children or not. And for Chuck and I, we both wanted children. We knew that. Mm-hmm. We're the oldest sibling. I'm the oldest of four. He was the oldest of two. And that was something we wanted to do.
Were you dating him at the time that this happened?
No, I had never even met him. So, you know, that's the early part of that journey where you're just praying. Well, for me, I became a Christian at 13 and walked a pretty heavy faith line. It was in a home that was real tumultuous, and so I'd seen God carry us through so many things. So I knew He was going to carry me through this, regardless of what the plan was. I just didn't doubt that. But then knowing in your mind, the doubt kicks in, and this worldly doubt of, well, what man would want to marry a woman who could possibly not have children? So that was a tough thing to carry. But we both decided, yes, we want to get married. We will most likely adopt.
Did you have a conversation? Like go back to the moment, like, you told him that? Like, was it early on in your dating relationship that
really,
he knew?
It was as we were friends.
Really?
Like I said, we were really good friends for about 2 years, developing this strong friendship.
Yeah.
And so we'd kind of discuss what he'd hoped for in that life mate we would have. And so he knew my heart, and I knew his. And so we knew we're going to merge forward, and we love one another. We know this is the union we want.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
And so we didn't. It wasn't like, okay, we've gotten married. And we did get often the questions of, when are you going to have children, and those kinds of things. And I think that's so important to understand that pressure with just that simple question is so great.
Yeah.
And even as women, we often ask other women, and I would just say, let's remember that, you know, and that every plan
you don't
is
know what's
different.
Going on in that relationship.
You have no idea, none.
Right.
So we did plan. We thought, well, we'll plan to adopt, and I transferred my records from a specialist in Alabama to here in Mississippi. I saw Dr. Greg Willis, who was a physician here at the time, and he said to us, he said, I can see your records. I can see everything. He said, why don't we just prayerfully pray over this and see what happens in the next six months? And that was, in some ways, encouraging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number one, that a physician would go to the Lord for that. And so we said,
there
okay.
are some physicians that are quick to speak things. Oh, yes. You will never statements. Yeah. Like, right. I've had several people that have been told that and then have had gone on mm-hmm. to have children. So if you're listening to this and you've had a statement like that, you know, talk to the Lord, bring that mm-hmm. back to the Lord, because sure. he's the one that has the final say.
He does. And he knows everything about us. Mm-hmm. Every little morsel of our health, he already knows. And mm-hmm. our futures, of course. So we did. We just, I won't say we wholeheartedly, but we were praying, mm-hmm. prayerful about that. And we became pregnant within that 6 months.
Wow.
And we did not tell anyone for mm-hmm. a long time. We obviously safeguarding that. Yeah. And about 4 months, we went to our visit. Everything seemed fine. And we planned to actually go to his home state of Missouri, to St. Louis, with some friends over a weekend. And a few weeks later, and while there, I had a really faint, dizzy spell. And I thought, so we told everyone. Yeah. We had just told everyone, yeah. you know, we're like, we're in the safeguard moment. And then we returned home. And within that next week, we knew there were issues. And of course, like many women experience pain and bleeding. And I've heard many women here share mm-hmm. with you, we go through that ritual for a few days. Let's check our hormone levels yeah. and let's see what's yeah. happening. And followed up with a DNC, which I think a lot of people don't realize that's a difficult decision
yeah.
in itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll be honest, it was just a moment of brokenness. You know, we were just like, and of course, the first question you want to ask yourself is why.
Right.
But I just kept clinging to God knows better. I mean,
because you were willing to accept that God wouldn't have a child
yes,
for you, and then
sure.
He gave you a child, yes. and then only to have it.
Yes.
You know,
and we wanted to
away.
Rationalize it. You know, yeah. In my mind, I'm thinking my husband's had a long career in law enforcement. Well, maybe. He was protected that night by this mm-hmm. event mm-hmm. instead of being out there. Maybe my health was in greater danger. You know, you want to go through that. But I will say it was a great time for spiritual growth for us mm-hmm. because not knowing for sure, you know, how to deal with things, you go to the Lord, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can remember being in the room at the hospital that night with the DNC. I could hear my husband on the phone with a tremendous faith walker in my life, Cheryl Edgeworth, who's a tremendous woman of faith, and I could hear the emotion in their voice, and you know, it was just overwhelming. But throughout all of that, as we were continuing to question why, I just kept saying, I can't continue to ask why, because I just have to trust that he knows why. And of course then the decision was, do we move forward again, could we get pregnant again? And my endometriosis was just, it was just difficult to deal with at the time. You know, it's dormant when you're pregnant. So
yeah.
we knew it was going to be fast and furious as a return, and it was. Mm-hmm. But we did. We became pregnant with our daughter, Kennedy, and we waited till almost 5 months before we told
wow.
anybody.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a scary time
it
when
is.
You've lost one.
Yeah.
How did you
It is.
Stay
it was
sane.
Difficult, too, because it was just so ironic at the time. Myself and three other friends experienced miscarriages within 12 months of one
another.
Wow.
And so we were in this community of love, but also grief uh-huh. at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And that was somewhat difficult. But then God was, he carried us through that pregnancy, and Kennedy was born a week earlier than the due date and when she was supposed to be, and over 8 pounds. We knew a bouncing baby girl and strong and a healthy pregnancy. And so that
wow.
was a wonderful
that gives me chills.
Moment for us. Yeah. And I know how God works in so many ways. I think everyone who's listening, who's a believer, you know it too. But just to be reminded, the spiritual journey that God took us on with her was just a beautiful one, because mm-hmm. as she's growing, we have to face those difficult decisions of what do we do now? Mm-hmm. And I was trying to do Lupron injections and different things for the endometriosis, and feeling just almost mad at times from the hormone changes.
Yeah.
And my anemia was really active because of just difficulties with it.
This is during pregnancy?
Following her pregnancy.
Okay. Following.
It became just worse. And so we did another laparoscopy. And those of you who have endometriosis, you know that seems to be a routine laparoscopy and ablation. And we repeat. And there were concerns over precancerous areas. And so we said, just go back in. And that really, the event that followed was a complete hysterectomy at age 34. So, you know, if you're not sure if you can have any children, you know at that point there are no more, you know, coming along. And but the sweetest moment, I think, that I can remember when Kennedy was younger, she became a believer very young at TCPS, actually.
That's a Christian school.
It is a
here
Christian school. And she was just,
Were
as a kid, she loved to learn. And would read anything that she could. And after she became a Christian, we did not have a pastor at that time. And so we had an interim pastor, and she would meet with him, and we go through some classes, and he just wasn't comfortable with public baptism. Mm. And then a new pastor came on board. And as we're sitting in the meetings with him and Kennedy, God's Spirit has just felt so greatly in there. Mm-hmm. And every Sunday for weeks, she would say, "Can I go up and ask to be baptized today?"
Baptized.
And so this particular Sunday, Chuck said, "Maybe today." Mm. And some of you have met Chuck, and he, you know, in our eyes, he's a good man. He's a great man. And he married a good man who believed he knew the Lord. But he did not know the Lord. Mm. He knew who God was. Mm. But that particular Sunday, Kennedy leaves that pew to go up to the front to ask to be baptized. And he ran to that pew and surrendered his life.
Wow.
And to see God use that is that he's walking by right now as I'm talking about him. So I say that I married a good man. Mm. But after Christ entered his life, we now have a greater man of faith in our home. But to see him walk through that with her... Wow. And how God used her in that journey, it made more sense.
I've heard him talk about your daughter and like
the sweetest relationship. Yeah. Uh-huh. Even when I was younger, like watching their relationship and yours and hers, just so sweet. And Kennedy is so sweet. I remember she would ride with me to softball practice sometimes or take her home, and she's just kind, like and genuine.
Well, thank you. We hope that, you know, as parents, you want to model Christ, and that is one thing I would say is often when you have difficulties with having a baby and you have a baby, people will say, "Oh, that's our miracle child."
Yes.
And I want to say that that's a lot of pressure to put that title on the child.
Wow.
So that child may think, "I need to grow up and be this perfect child." Mm. And by far, she would laugh today and say she is not, and neither are we.
Miracle does not equate perfect.
No, it does not. It doesn't. However, it does equate for God's work and his
and a plan
work.
For your life.
Yes, that's right. Yes, yes.
Well, you were talking about just knowing ahead of time when you married your husband that how will I find somebody that, you know, will agree to marry under my circumstances. Yeah. Could you speak to a moment for any of our listeners that maybe have gotten a diagnosis and they're struggling with either they're not married and they have that desire to be married, or they are married and they're struggling with feelings of guilt?
Sure. Yeah, isn't it crazy how that guilt just... It's just waves.
The enemy
comes over you. In fact, I do remember when we were pregnant with Kennedy, a friend of ours was pregnant with twins and went into labor earlier. And both babies were born very, very early, and both passed within that next month. Gosh. And I just could not bring myself to tell her that we were expecting a baby. Mm. And I know that that's just, that is not of God. That is not for us to carry that burden like that. Right. That's where we go to carry that. So I would say, remember, and I have to remind myself, often we want to make decisions from our mind and our heart. Mm-hmm. And really, we have to take it to the word in our walk, because I can think enough negativity as it is. So I would just say, again, encourage you, there's no simple way. There's not an earthly piece of advice that can just make everyone okay. But remembering that roles are different. Mm-hmm. Even though we have a daughter, and we have gotten that question a lot, why didn't you have any more children? Mm. Didn't you want any more children? Well, I bet she's so spoiled, and I bet, why on earth would you be selfish and not have any more children? And so, number one, I think be mindful of your words, because, again, people are just, we don't know what people are going through.
Silent battles.
Mm-hmm. They are silent battles, and I think it even reaches not from that moment of where you're waiting and you're trying to get through everything, but even to now, We do hope to be grandparents one day, but we are not going to put pressure on her about that, because that her plan is already laid out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that is just undue stress on top of the stress we put on each other. But I just remember going back to the word so many times, and I was, when I had shared with Ann, I was a high school baby. I was born of a 16-year-old mom. Mm. And, you know, I know a lot of people use Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans have to be, but really beyond that is, you come to me, right? What you bring to me. And so he already has that plan laid out. Mm. And it may be like us, we've not necessarily been surrogate parents, but we've been enabled to help raise nieces and nephews and other family friends. And it does look different. You know, I would love to have all of my family here nearby me who would want to be here. Mm-hmm. But we've not had family here with us. It's just been us. I think that's one of the reasons why she's so stubborn, other than getting it from both of us. But having that community around you too makes a difference. And then being able to say, okay, I want to help with this. There is a child somewhere nearby, probably all of us, who needs us.
Who needs us, right?
In some way or the other.
Well, and God calls us to do that. So many students too. Like I have my mama very active in my life, but you were still such a strong influence in my life as a teacher. I don't even remember what I was crying about one day, but one day in the middle of Bible class, I just started crying. I can't remember right now what that was about. And Miss Bunn excused class and just talked to me.
Stop.
She did. She did. Prayed with me. I think she might have cried with me. But it's those kind of things that students don't forget. And whenever, I know you were already a mama, but having that desire, you know, to be a mama, I'm speaking for myself here, but then looking back and seeing how you were able to mother so in so many different ways is also such a blessing to look back, especially for those children that were involved. Real quick, do you have, for the couple struggling with infertility or child loss, do you have any way, like anything you would say as a husband and wife, how your relationship could grow stronger together during that time instead of what we see so many times growing apart?
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing is communication. Obviously, you have to talk about it. And I would say be cautious and guarded about who you bring into that situation. Because, you know, often people can advise, this is what worked for us. And we are called to share our testimonies. And the older I've gotten, the braver I've become about doing that. But I think being cautious, number one, in guarding your relationship. And then also, you've got to be in the Word. You have got to be in that and continue to surround yourself with that. And give each other a break. Give each other, you know, the blame game can be something that can develop. So being mindful, because someone is going to want to blame. I'm going to blame me, and I'm going to blame you. And really, there's not a blame. This is the situation you are in. And this is where you're going to find God's greatest journey for you, if you can handle it. And to continue to move forward, too. And again, we have our one daughter, whom we, of course, adore. But we have to be mindful that she is his first and then ours second. And it's a great responsibility to take on to now parent her.
Right.
Even at 26, you know, knowing the distance and the way to do it.
You still parent, though. Like, my mom, one day, it was after Will and I had gotten married, and she was saying, like, I feel like you just don't need me anymore. And I was like, I feel like I kind of need you more. Like, I might not need you to change diapers and to feed me supper, but, like, there are bigger problems now that I need help with now than I did when you were rocking me to sleep every night, you know?
And I think the other thing, if I could say, is just remembering that you are a couple and you were brought together to be together, and that you have to make your marriage a priority. It has to be strong. You
know? For better or worse, includes in sickness and in health. And infertility is a sickness. And if I could add on to that, you spoke from the perspective of someone who was the, I don't know if I'm going to be able to have kids. I married somebody who told me up front, I don't know if I can have kids. And I made that decision knowing this, you know, we might not ever have biological children together. So if I can speak to anybody who's wondering, is there somebody who will love me? Let me just tell you, I was head over heels. It was embarrassing how in love I was with Eric. And when I would go to pray about, but Lord, what about this great desire that I have for kids? Yes, I did have to lay that down before I made a vow and commitment to my husband. But I would just ask the Lord, and he quietly spoke to my heart and said, do you trust me? And it grew my faith to say, do I trust God enough to lay down this great desire, not knowing what the next chapter is going to look like, to say, even if, you know, this doesn't go the way I intended.
That's right.
And I no regrets here.
No, I agree.
Well, Elaine, would you mind leading us in prayer?
Be honored to.
For just couples who are going through what you have walked through, what you still walk through, like what you're saying.
Yes, definitely. And thank you all for letting me share a little bit
today. Yes, ma'am.
Lord, first of all, we come to you and we just thank you for who you are, because no one compares. And Lord, I can't imagine my life without you. I do want to lift up any couple who's going through this situation right now, or someone in the mindset that I had too, being told very young, you you probably won't be a parent one day. And Lord, help us to be mindful mm-hmm. to know that we go to you first and that mm-hmm. you already know the steps that are laid before us, God. Right. I do pray for comfort for those today who are hurting, Lord, and for clarity for those who are in doubt, God. And I just pray that your spirit would be felt so strongly for them. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it has been a pleasure to have you on. I mean, really, we talked about this a while ago. I think before I even worked at AFA, we talked about meeting up for coffee or yeah. something because I was in the depths of infertility at the time and then COVID. And so I don't think we ever met up, but I'm so glad we had the opportunity to do this today. Nash, thank you for being here.
Thank you. That's God's discerning time.
That's right. That's right. Thank you all for listening to Hannah's Heart again. We appreciate you being here week to week, and we'll see you next week on Hannah's Heart.